This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Really good baseball coming out of the All-Star break, going into the All-Star break. All of a sudden, they're kind of sitting there, and the idea of a wild card spot comes into play just a little bit more, doesn't it? 49-50. Mm-hmm. They're 10 games back in the division,
which is better than 15 back where they were.
See?
Well, I'm just saying, I said to you.
No, I know, you're right.
I said to you probably 10, somewhere between 5 and 10 days ago, that you now have to look at the season in baby steps. And one of the first baby steps was to start winning series. And then along with that would come the ability to start jumping over other teams in the standings as far as the wild card was concerned. Let's not forget, I mean, they were behind what the Royals and the Twins just a few days ago. And they're still, now they picked up a game and a half on the Twins, and they're a game up on the Royals right now. And they are kind of on a collision course to keep moving up. Like even last night, I'm like, hey, what Texas do tonight? You know, what Tampa do? They picked up a full game on Tampa last night, didn't they? Yeah, because Tampa lost two in a row. So, you know, they're crawling. They're 3.5 out of that spot. The Rangers are 2.5. The Rays are 1.5. You pick up a win today. Now, all of a sudden, look at this. The Rangers and you're tied. Pick up another win and a loss. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, again, you're playing the hot hand and hoping that the Rangers and Rays are losing. But you're on a collision course if you can just play competitively to get into that last wild card spot. The last thing I want to see them do is over the next 8 days just kind of lay over and go, well, we're only 3.5 back in the wild card. That's going to be a long way because we got to jump over two teams to get there. And so let's just start trading guys off. I don't think they have to. And if you can get to the playoffs, anything can happen.
I also don't want to see them give up any people that they think are good, viable options for next year and beyond for real short-term help to try and make this thing work. I'm not sure this offense, even though it's been really good here the last several games during this stretch, I don't think the offense is enough to carry this team into the postseason and certainly be effective in the postseason. Doesn't mean they can't get in and win with pitching. And it doesn't mean you can't be opportunistic. I just don't know that this team this year is worth the investment. That said, they have three teams that they have to hurdle right now. But there are, you know, as you laid out, Andy, the Angels, Royals, Twins right behind them. It's a glut of teams right now trying to get in to the wild card spot. And Seattle and Boston are tied for, you know, spots right now. So there's just a lot going on. They won't stay this hot, but it doesn't mean they can't keep winning.
If they continue to keep playing these teams that they're supposed to beat and win series, that they're going to be right there.
Well, they have a chance to, sure.
If they don't blow it up, that's the whole thing. I didn't want them to blow it up 10 days ago, and I still don't want them. And I look at this 9 of 11, and you could when Stephen Vogt was talking about this stuff in the beginning, I was like, because he said, the team feels like they're getting better. I know we're losing. We're not doing this. They lost a number of those games in that 10-game losing streak with fluky things that were going on. If you go back and look at this last 11 games, two of those games came down to a play at the plate. So you know, that could they have easily equaled out that 10-game losing streak with 11-game winning streak? Yeah, but it's baseball, so you're not necessarily going to get that. But they've done an outstanding job of trying to crawl back in this thing. Now they're in the middle of the pack and just keep charging forward, and good things are going to happen.
One thing that I watch and I keep just thinking, I keep thinking, come on, man. Really? And it's tough to say this when they've won 9 of 11 games. But it doesn't feel right to me. Last night, Kyle Manzardo comes up in the sixth inning and hits a home run. And Kyle had a pretty good game. Kyle was hitting cleanup. Okay? So he's your cleanup hitter. It's a left-handed hitter. He was 2-for-3 with a home run. Batting average is .219. It's not real good. But Kyle's your cleanup hitter. You're batting him fourth. And he was 2-for-3 in the game. Orioles make a pitching change in the next inning, in the seventh inning. And they bring in a left-hander. And they load the bases. The Guardians load the bases. And what does Stephen Vogt do? He lifts his cleanup hitter, who bats left-handed, and it just hit a home run in the sixth inning. The dude just hit a home run. Different pitcher, but he just hit a home run. And you lift him with the bases loaded and bring in David Fry to pinch hit. It's complete lefty-righty. It's complete analytics. It's complete following the numbers. And it's not managing a baseball game. It's reading off of a sheet. And I get it. It's the way a lot of things are done in baseball these days. But can I just make the argument here? You made the move, Andy. Mm-hmm. You bring in the right-hander to face the lefty, okay?
Yeah.
Except for one thing. The lefty who you took out, Kyle Manzardo, just hit a home run. And on the season against left-handed pitching, Manzardo's hitting all of .196. So that makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
Except the guy you brought in to pinch hit for him is hitting .162 against lefties. Why do managers, our manager, and I like him. I think Stephen Vogt's terrific. He's done a great job. He's created a great culture there. Everybody likes playing for him. It seems like there's a great camaraderie in the clubhouse, and it seems like that nowadays has become the manager's main job. Because it's not to manage a baseball game. Because who lifts a guy who just hit a home run, was 2-for-3, is hitting cleanup, to bring in a guy hitting 34 points less against the left-hander? I truly don't understand
Is that career or just this year?
This year.
Well, I mean, here's the
David Fry. He's not hitting yet this year.
I am not disagreeing with you. My gut would say live in the now and do what the guy is doing for this season. And why would you pull a guy that just hit a home run? It was playing. I think lefty righty is the second most tired thing in baseball. The most tired thing is lifting a pitcher who's hot in the eighth inning because you feel like you need to bring the closer in. That's the other thing that drives
me. Unless the guy's at a pitch limit or something.
Right. So, but I mean, you could say there's a gut feeling. Like when I watch David Fry hit, I really don't look at him as a guy that's hitting .167. I kind of see the guy that's hitting .243 for his career. And I can understand how they see that. And again, we're talking about
.243 is great shakes. And I really like David Fry.
Yeah, because when I look at our lineup, anybody hitting over .230 is okay with me right now. And that's where I've kind of settled in to the fact that you have a lineup that nightly puts five guys out there that are hitting under .200. So I don't know. Are you looking at the condensed version of 76 at-bats or 78 at-bats for this year? Or are you looking at that lifetime of 514?
I'm looking at a guy who 15 minutes ago hit a home run.
Yeah, and I understand what
you're saying.
I'm
lifting him with the bases loaded.
And I can't. So I'm making the other side of the argument. I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree with you. I'm not doing that last night. There's no way. I agree with you, but there are some things that are play. One, are you looking at him over the lifetime of his and do you think he can hit his way out of this funk that he's in? And two, is any Major League Baseball manager really managing anymore?
Well, that's
part of the big question. Brian Anderson has come on here time after time after time saying that most guys are just kind of sitting in the dugout and whatever the stats tell them to do, they'll do it, even if the emperor has no clothes on. Like, let's be honest, Jeff, is that not an emperor has no clothes on? Everyone's telling you, or the stats are telling you, or your boss is telling you, hey, the right thing to do here, especially when we're looking at a righty-lefty matchup, that, you know, David Fry is probably the guy to put in here, even though your eyes just told you, man, Manzardo's having a great game. Why would I pull him? Right? And so now, who's the smartest guy in the room?
And some of the numbers are telling you that against left-handers, Manzardo's better than Fry.
But you choose not to look at those numbers.
You're looking at different numbers.
That's the beauty of Menegan Ball. You can have the numbers work out to anything you want. I just want to see if he's paying attention.
216-474-0092. Do managers even manage this game anymore? Or are they just looking at the tablet in the dugout and, okay, here, I've got to do this now. Why? Because the numbers tell me to. Lefty-righty, that's the way it's supposed to go. You lifted a guy who just hit a home run, your cleanup hitter, with the bases loaded. And you brought in a guy who's hitting significantly less this year against left-handed pitching. I don't understand. If you do, please call and explain. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
But all of this, it clearly has to be you're just managing by the computer printout and not managing by what's happening in the game in front of you. Now, it's worked the last 11 games. You've won 9 of them. It didn't work the previous 10 games. The offense hasn't been great shakes this year. I just wonder, and it has us thinking a little bit. Managers' roles seem to have certainly changed in Major League Baseball, and I think our manager is a perfect example of that.
I don't know. I think it's a weird spot to be in because I don't think every team runs exactly the same. I do think that historically, our team has relied on numbers to make decisions that sometimes don't exactly. It's that whole, should a manager manage with their gut or should they look at the stats that are in front of them? I think it's a tough decision. I would hope that Stephen Vogt has the option to do what he thinks is the right thing to do. And if he's wrong, he's probably going to hear it from the front office when he leaves.
Well, we're talking.
But I'm not sure. And we've had too many conversations with guys who have been in the game for a long time that don't like that. But I'll go back and say this. Jeff, I mean, Mike Hargrove always played the numbers, didn't he?
No, he played his starters.
Well, no, I'm saying, but he would play his starters, but in late in the game. Don't you think that he relied on that lefty-righty matchup all the time? That he was
I can't.
Do you remember?
No, it's 20-some-odd years ago. Yeah, I don't remember who he pinch hit.
I'm not talking about one specific thing. I always thought that Grover kind of went with the odds. And that's why. And the reason I bring him up is because he's the manager I respect more than any other manager that I've ever seen in this organization. So there are times when I watch now And I wonder why a manager did something. And sometimes I would get frustrated when I was young and I would watch him. But I respect him more than any other manager I've ever seen, because that's who I kind of grew up with. And he's the guy that helped me understand that we can have winning baseball in this town.
Well,
so when I look at it, sometimes I wonder what Grover would do a lot of times. And I know what you're saying and I understand it. But by the same token, if you win, what's the difference?
What
would Grover do? I think that a lot.
This conversation inspired by one thing in particular last night.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
Or are we just second guessing the use of analytics? Which might be the case, because last night, Kyle Manzardo, home run in the sixth inning. Next inning, seventh inning, Orioles bring in a lefty. Bases loaded. Kyle Manzardo hit a home run the previous inning. They lift him, bring in David Fry, whose batting average against lefties worse than Kyle Manzardo's, who had just hit a home run the inning before. Chuck's buzzing around in his car. Good morning, Chuck.
How are you guys?
Hey, man.
Confused. Well, Andy, I'm sorry, but you can't use Grover. That we're talking about.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are times that I look back and I think because we all were educated at some point. I'm sure you learned something when you were young that you still look back at today. It might not be right. It might not be wrong. But there are things you look back at. I kind of look back at that because that's who I learned to respect and like more than anybody else. So okay. Go ahead.
Well, he had a whole team of hitters. That team.
Yeah, I'm not talking. I was talking more about pitching than I was hitting, but go ahead. That's fine.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
This Guardians team is just, you can't. I'm not comparing them to the 95 Indians. I was watching the Mets and the Yankees one day, and they hit more balls than they were hitting 1 through 9. The game looks so different from what we're used to watching. This team is not that. But in terms of Fry being rolled off the bench, if that's going to be a role of his down the stretch, they need him, obviously, to be that right-handed hit off the bench. Then they got to give him opportunities to show in situations and get comfortable with that spot. So that's what that presented me. I understand Manzardo's 2 for 3, and he's a lefty, and he had a higher average, but sometimes the manager looks at the whole ball club and not just one guy. And he needs Fry to be in that situation, to hit off a lefty for later in the year. He's got to give him a chance to do that.
But, Chuck, the concept that I think Jeff's kind of bringing up here is, was it the manager or was it analytics that said do this? Jeff, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
You're correct, Andy.
Yeah.
He's going to replace himself with AI.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And Chuck, that's what I'm wondering right now. Is the manager just creating a nice environment for the players to thrive in, hopefully, and just completely managing by what's being spit out by a computer? I mean, how do you lift a guy? And Chuck, I get your thought. Okay, you need him down the road. Well, guess what? You need to win that game last night. You're trying to catch up on the wild card. Did David Fry give you the best chance in that situation? I think not, personally. Jim's in Euclid. Hi, Jim.
Jimbo.
Hey, good morning. I'm right there with you. I think one of the reasons that Tito left is because I think he didn't want to play into this whole analytics. I think he used analytics with his brain and his experience, but I think he had enough. And I think they probably parted ways and said, you know, it's time for us to go a different direction. He said, I feel the same way. Because it's maddening to watch this team. Because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of he can't hit lefties. Well, if you don't bat him against lefties, he's not going to hit lefties. It's maddening to watch. And I also think it comes down to payroll. If I could put a bunch of platoon players out there and pay them nothing compared to paying someone who's a star, it's easy to get away with it. And I'm in a text group with my dad and my uncle and my brother-in-law during these games. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that we go back and forth with when it comes to the lack of hitting, the managerial decisions. I mean, it's great for the team because we're interested, but at the same time, it's like, I need a drink every night.
Jim, that's Be careful, okay? If you're going to do that, just make sure you're sitting at home, okay?
Here's the problem I have with the Tito argument. And I believe the back end of what you said, Jim, makes more sense with the Tito argument. The beginning of it, though, he knew what he was getting into when he came to Cleveland. And I felt like he knew that, you know, when he got together with Chernoff and Antonetti, that this is what it was going to be. And I respect it. I mean, I still respect all three of those guys. But
it was 2013, though, Andy.
No. But I mean, you remember where he was coming from. He was coming from ESPN in Boston. And, you know, he had that, there was a goofy stuff going on in Boston. Like, why did Boston ever let him leave? Like, to me, to this day, I still don't know what a stupid move it was for the Red Sox to let him go at that point. But it was to our benefit. And we got some great baseball out of it here while he was here. I think what you were saying, though, towards the end was, you know, that last year he wasn't already feeling good. He was dealing with health issues, and it felt like the front office threw up the white flag. Maybe if they would have got him some a little bit more help, they might have been in a different situation. And maybe he's just like, you know what? Maybe it's just time to move on.
Yeah, and to your point on that, I want them to stay in this race.
Yeah, me too.
If you keep going, it builds that you are a competitive team. If you keep throwing up the white flag every year, you know, hey, we're two games out and we can't hit. Well, let's see what we can do, because what we're going to get in return for whatever we trade is not going to bring us anything.
I don't think they throw up the white flag every – I mean, go back and look. It's every other year they're making the playoffs.
Well, let me throw this other thought at you. That same inning, you pinch hit for Manzardo.
Mm-hmm.
Schneeman comes up later in the inning. I like Daniel Schneeman. Daniel's a scrappy player. I like him.
He is. The Lorax.
I like that. You're spinning pennies. That's cool.
I'm just listening.
How's that going? So Schneeman comes up. He's a lefty hitting against a left-hander.
Right.
If you had saved David Fry, you could hit him there for Schneeman if you had to. Okay?
Sure.
And then, because Schneeman's hitting like 170 against left-handers, Manzardo had just hit a home run and it's hitting 200 against left-handers. And you could have put Angel Martinez at second base to replace Schneeman and brought in Jonathan Rodriguez, moved Nolan Jones to center field. I mean, you took out a dude who has some pop, and it just hit a home run. I do not get it. Tom's in Mentor. Tom.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
Andy.
Hey, Tom.
I just don't understand why. Well, first of all, he's a cleanup hitter, and you're right. He's hitting cleanup, Tom.
He's your cleanup hitter.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's pinching for a cleanup hitter. Who, if you're gonna, You gotta get Fry off the bench, but I think there's about five other guys you could think of that he could come in and pinch hit for before Kyle Manzardo, who's batting four.
Schneeman later in the inning.
I've never seen anyone pinch hit a
four hitter,
a cleanup hitter before. Yeah, it's weird. Like, what are you doing, dude? So, anyways, that's my take.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much. It just
so
screams, Andy, that he's following following data that's been churned out by the organization, doesn't it?
Well, the other part of it is that you're creating a new paradigm where the number four hitter doesn't necessarily mean that he's your power hitter. I mean, if you want to,
but he is in this case.
Almost like saying, "Oh, who's your number one starter?" Well, does that really matter outside of the opening day or your home opener or the playoffs? And what they're saying is, if you're going to lift your number four hitter, that you're not saying, well, my guy who hits first is fast, my guy who is second is going to get him over, my guy who's third is going to get a hit, and then my fourth guy is going to hit a home run. They're not looking at it that way, right? You're creating a paradigm that doesn't really that exists in their world because, you know, he's not always going to hit fourth in an inning if you're lucky enough to get to that spot. So why not treat the number four hitter like the number seven hitter or the number eight hitter or the number nine hitter and blow up the way you traditionally think about a batting order? I don't like that, but that's what they're asking you to do, right? He's right. How often do you lift the number four hitter in the lineup?
I think it's ludicrous. You could hang on to... And nothing against David. David's coming back from the Tommy John surgery. He can't play a position. He can do one thing and one thing only, and that's bat. Schneeman came up later in the inning. Good for Daniel. He walked. His batting average against lefties, not good. And he walked. You could have easily saved Fry to pinch hit for Schneeman if he came up in that situation. You know, when you pinch hit and took Manzardo out of the game last night, it was a 6-5 game. You were up by a run and you had the bases loaded and the chance to blow it open, and the dude who just hit a home run batting cleanup for you is taken out of the game. Okay. Let Steven manage. I'm not
Let
even mad.
Him manage.
I'm not even mad
Let
at Steve.
Him
it's, I'm not mad
Although
at Steven.
Although maybe he was.
I don't think he was.
I don't know.
I mean, Steven Vogt's, I think, a pretty smart guy. Why would a baseball guy make that move? I don't know. Lisa's in Akron. Lisa, we got about a minute for you.
Okay, guys, listen. They didn't want to put Rodriguez in right field for defensive purposes. They want to keep their best guy out there, which is Nolan Jones, which is why they didn't pinch hit for him. Now, I would rather have Fry hitting against a lefty than Manzardo. I'm sorry. I know Manzardo just hit a home run, but wasn't that against a righty?
Did you see the – do you know their batting averages against lefties?
I do, but I have –
Well, what are they?
They're like 170 and like probably right around, I don't know, 130?
It's
– But listen.
Manzardo's batting average against lefties is significantly higher than David Fry's batting average, 196 to 162.
Okay, so we're talking 28 points.
And the guy – The guy hasn't had a good year hitting, and Manzardo's been better.
Against righties.
No, Manzardo's better against lefties than David Fry.
I know. But in that type of a situation, I would much rather have David Fry.
Okay, well, it didn't work out.
Lisa, let me ask you. Oh, I was going to ask you. How often do you lift your four-hitter, righty or lefty? What's the difference?
Who had just hit a home run the inning before. I don't know. We'll talk more Guardians later in the show because we're hearing reports that Steven Kwan is untouchable. Then we're seeing other reports that he's the second most likely player to be traded by the trade deadline. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com, is going to be getting to work like absolute crazy. Why? Because Browns veterans in camp on the field tomorrow. Mary Kay's next here on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.